Welcome to the Public Services Reform Podcast from the Centres for Markets and Public Organisation. My name is Saskia Walcott, and today I'm talking to Christine Valent. Christine is a senior lecturer in economics at the University of Bristol. Her research interests centre around questions of human capital in developing countries, particularly health and education. Her current paper examines the impact on test results and the schooling environment in Tanzania following the introduction of free primary education in 2002. Hello, Christine.
Hi.
Can you begin by giving us a brief background on primary education in Tanzania?
Sure. So I think the key thing here is that throughout the 90s, the enrollment rate in Tanzania was at about 50%, so meaning that only about 50% of children of primary school age would actually be enrolled in school. And in 2001, they announced the removal of primary school fees. And basically in 2002, this went up to 73% and kept going up until about 96% in 2006, 2007. So quite a big change over time.
Quite a big jump. So in terms of your research, what questions were you looking to answer when you embarked on this?
So the case of Tanzania is not the only one. And in fact, in many developing countries, especially in sub-Saharan Africa, there have been really large increases in enrollment rates in primary schooling in the past 10 to 15 years. But the idea was that we know more and more from recent evidence that it's not so much how many years of education people get that matters for their own earnings as well as for growth from the point of view of a country as a whole, but rather what they actually learn in school, which is not really surprising. But the idea was that so maybe when enrollment growth is so rapid and so large, maybe the quality of the learning deteriorates. And so it's not clear that it actually improves people's ability to earn more and countries' ability to grow faster. So the idea was to look at that specifically in the case of Tanzania and try and understand what happened to the schooling environment in terms of the learning that goes on in schools at the same time as this enrollment growth was being observed.
Okay. So you were looking at the increase in enrollment and the quality experience that both teachers and children were having in the schooling environment. So explain to me what data you drew on as part of that research and what elements you analysed of the sort of school environment.
Sure. So the idea was to exploit some data that was taken in schools in 2000 and in 2007 across the country. It's a representative survey of public schools in state schools in Tanzania. And it's a very detailed one where we know about the type of teachers that are in schools, but also what test scores students achieve. And we also know what type of schooling inputs in terms of, you know, textbooks and blackboards and things like this they have access to within the school. So this basically was going to allow me to look at not only what happened to test scores, but also what happened to pupil-teacher ratios and, you know, textbooks availability and, say, the level of experience of the average teacher in the school.
Okay. So what was the effect of increased enrollment then on the schooling environment?
Okay, so first I looked at what happened to schooling inputs. So that's, as I was saying, pupil-teacher ratios, how many textbooks, whether or not a pupil has access to a textbook, what is the level of experience of the teacher. And what I found was that in areas of the country where enrollment growth in schools was faster, you observed a worsening of pupil-teacher ratios relative to areas where enrollment growth was slower. You also observed that the average teacher was less experienced than in other areas, which is what you would expect when you have to recruit new teachers.
So you have an influx of new teachers.
Exactly. And you also have an influx of additional pupils, of course, with which the influx of teachers cannot cope with, and therefore you have an increase in pupil-teacher ratios. Okay. So everything you would expect in terms of the observable schooling inputs, if you like. However, when you look at the total effect that enrollment growth had on test scores, you actually find no substantial worsening. In fact, no statistically significant worsening of test scores. Okay. And that might be surprising for most people, but it's actually not really surprising when you look at what we know so far of the effect of this kind of what I called observable schooling inputs, such as pupil-teacher ratios, the average level of training of teachers, etc. Because we actually have a wide literature now that shows that these observable inputs actually have very small effects on test scores.
Okay.
So, for instance, parents and teachers are always asking for smaller pupil-teacher ratios, smaller classes, but when you actually look at the evidence, it's not clear that they improve test scores very much. And in many countries, including developed countries, I'm not talking about just developing countries, but in many countries where this kind of research has been carried out, they didn't find any effect on test scores. Now, it doesn't mean that it doesn't have positive effects on other aspects of, you know, maybe the quality of the teacher experience or the quality of the child's experience, but in terms of, you know, hardcore learning as captured by test scores,
yes,
it doesn't seem to have very large effects everywhere.
Okay, so that seems like you're telling quite a positive story in terms
yes.
of Tanzania, because what you have is a large number of children now in school, they're being educated, and there's not necessarily a problem with the test scores that are coming out.
That's right.
But looking a bit deeper, were there any other issues that you came across?
Yes, so one of the things that I tried to look at was whether or not this sort of overall, you know, positive story was hiding some heterogeneity in the response of some students or some regions. And what I did find is that, so it's not clear that there is a lot of heterogeneity, say, if you look across the distribution of test scores. In other words, it's not clear that, say, children with very high test scores or children with very low test scores are suffering more from, you know, this increase in enrollment growth, for instance. However, where I did find that there was heterogeneity is when I compared rural areas with urban areas. So maybe a little bit of background. So at baseline, right, to start with, in 2000, rural and urban areas were very different in terms of the quality of the teachers, in terms of their qualifications, in terms of their own scores when they're given a test in math, if they're a math teacher, or in reading, if they're a Kiswahili teacher.
Were they better in the urban areas or better?
They were much, much, much better
okay.
in the urban areas. And so it was a quite different environment, and if you look at test scores as well, the test scores of pupils in urban areas were much higher than those in rural areas.
And is that just looking at state schools, because this is before the change?
Yes.
So were these people paying for their children? That are...
So as of 2000, everybody was supposed to pay a fee, and my sample is only state schools.
Okay.
But in fact, in Tanzania, at primary level, less than 1% of pupils are in private schools. So
okay, it's
not
very small.
So,
right.
Exactly, yeah. And so there is a big difference, which, you know, and there may be lots of reasons for that. I mean, the type of people who live in urban areas are fundamentally different to the type of people who live in rural areas. And also, of course, you know, there's probably a lot of cream skimming of teachers by schools in urban areas, because a typical teacher is someone from an urban area who wants to live in an urban area.
Right.
And when they're assigned to a rural area, I think they try try to leave if they can. So it was a very different context to start with. And what I do find is that enrollment growth in urban areas had a detrimental effect on test scores, but not in rural areas.
So rural areas benefited?
They didn't benefit, but they didn't suffer from it.
Okay.
I mean, in terms of quality. So yeah, they probably benefited in the sense that they also experienced enrollment growth and they didn't have a loss in quality. Yeah. Whereas in urban areas, I observed that urban areas in regions where there was more enrollment growth also saw a worsening in test scores. So data limitations prevent me from digging very deep into this, but my hypothesis is that the average level of learning is actually very low to start with in many developing countries, and Tanzania is no exception, even though Tanzania fares actually pretty well in international comparisons within Africa in terms of the quality of learning. But the idea is that what may be happening is that when you start from a very low level of quality, then you can add 10 kids to the class and you can make the teachers a little bit less experienced, it's not going to affect test scores very much.
Yes.
So in that sense, it wouldn't be such a positive outlook.
Okay. So in relation to introduction of free primary education then, what are the lessons do you think that can be drawn from the Tanzania experience?
So the lesson that can be drawn from Tanzania experience is that you can increase massively the amount of children that go through primary school system in an African country such as Tanzania without having to trade it off against a loss in the quality of learning that goes on in school, which is a really good story. But at the same time, it's not necessarily a loser-free policy, and so more attention needs to be taken in terms of maybe avoiding or preventing losses in places where children might lose out. But clearly more research is needed, because as I said, you know, how could you predict that urban areas were going to suffer more? Well, maybe you could have thought that where learning was better to start with, they had more to lose, but it wasn't so clear to start with. And even now, you know, I can't be completely sure given the data I have.
And in terms of, are you aware of any sort of current changes in policy in Tanzania, as in what their plans are going forward for primary education?
So they don't really have now a problem of access in primary education, but they are indeed concerned about quality, because the thing is that a lot of people look at things that are easy to observe. For instance, pupil-teacher ratios. So everybody knows in Tanzania that pupil-teacher ratios have gone up a lot, and people are worried about the quality of education, and so it's good that the government is trying to address that. But they are now turning their attention to secondary schooling and also trying to improve access, because secondary schooling is still very much of an elite.
Is secondary schooling free in Tanzania?
I don't believe it's free as of yet, but they are thinking about it.
Thank you very much, Christine. And that draws to the end this podcast with Christine Valente.